We're momming today with Candace Cameron Bure, DJ Tanner from Full House. I'm sorry I grew up with you. Candace, we're the same
Why are
age.
You sorry?
Because
I,
doesn't
that
that get
makes me so
annoying?
happy.
Does that get annoying after all these years?
No, it makes me happy. It really does.
And so I know exactly who you are, obviously. But then I looked into, what are you doing now? A skincare company with the Dr. Lancer skincare partnership. You've written 8 books, 3 children's books. You have a Bible for kids.
I
Is
have
that
a
true?
Bible. It's the Holy Bible called the One Step Closer Bible, but it's for all ages because it's the Bible.
Then there's, you left the Hallmark Channel, but I believe you did 29 Christmas films.
I've done 30 films for Hallmark Channel. 10 of them were Christmas films.
I mean, this
I
is
believe.
insane.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
have 3 kids.
And I have 3 kids.
And you work out.
I work out.
Did I? Oh, you have a clothing line.
I have a clothing line.
I mean, this, come on.
We could
How
keep
do you do all
going.
this?
And I have a company that produces films and television.
Is that the Great American Family?
No, that's the new channel, the new network that I'm with. But my company is called Candy Rock Entertainment. So in addition to starring in movies, I also produce movies. I also have an executive position at the network. So I'm curating content for Great American Family, but I'm also producing additional films that I'm not starring in. And I've been producing films for the last 7 years.
Well, I mean, if you could do one thing and one thing with passion, what would it be?
That's a hard question because I don't like doing one thing.
Clearly.
But I have to do one thing. I want to be with my family.
Aww.
I want to be with my husband and my children.
So have you been married for 20 years? 26
26.
Years.
20, yeah.
So you got married at 20 years old.
Yes, I did. It's worked out pretty well for us.
I mean, yeah, but would you advise your children to get married at 20?
Well, I can actually answer honestly and say yes. One of my sons was engaged at one point. He's no longer, but I think it depends on the individuals and their maturity level and where they're at in life. I'm so happy that my husband and I were married young and we've grown together so much. And I think that leaves a lot of room to grow together. Whereas, people that do get married later in life, there's always advantages to that, but you can also be very set in your ways. And that can also be difficult within the relationship as well.
And you can have your life now when your older kids are older. Whereas for people
Exactly.
like me who did it all later, I have no life. But I feel like fortunately I had one.
Yeah,
and
there's
I just
pros
think
and
about it every now and then.
Yeah, I know. There's pros and cons to both sides. And I guess we're not always in control of those decisions because you never know when you're going to meet the person you want to marry. And for me, it happened at 18 years old. But
how did
I
you
have.
meet him? What's your story?
So I was introduced to him at a charity hockey game in Los Angeles. Dave Coulier, who was on Full House, he played Joey. He is a big hockey fan, and he was playing in a celebrity game that had both pros and celebrities in the game. And he invited John Stamos, Bob Saget, Lori Loughlin, and me to watch him in this game. But he prepped me beforehand. He said, hey, there's these two really great Russian hockey players, and I know they watch Full House. And I want to introduce you to them because they're right around your age. Like, who knows? Maybe you'll hit it off with one of them. So I said, okay. So I went to watch Dave. And after the game, was introduced to Val and his brother. And sure enough, Val asked me for my phone number. And I gave it to him. And he called me the next morning at 11 a.m. and said, do you want to have lunch? Because I'm leaving the following day back to Montreal, because that's where he had been drafted, to the Montreal Canadiens. And I said, sure. And that was it. We met for lunch and then had a phone relationship for about 6 months before I ever saw him again. And then we were engaged 6 months later.
Oh, wow. When you know, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you and the cast of Full House really, are you really close still? I mean, the
yes.
beautiful family that we saw on TV, is that what it was really like off camera?
Yes. Yeah. Everything that you see and feel from the show in terms of the love that's there is real and genuine. We are so close, and I can't look at many casts from shows. I mean, you're just a bunch of, you're a group of actors that get thrown together, and you really never know what the chemistry is going to be like. And somehow there was magic when they put us together, and we are still so very close. And with the passing of Bob.
Yeah.
This year, it's brought us even closer. I didn't even think we could get closer, but we've had our group text chain for years and years and years that we're always on. And at least a couple times a week, someone is texting the group just saying, I love you, I miss you. This reminded me of all of us, or, you know, whatever it is, or just a dumb joke. And we all laugh at it. But we're, I think now that Bob's gone, we are saying I love you to each other every week, because we're truly a second family.
Was in that group text chain when Bob was around, was he the funny one in
yes.
the group, or did people pretty much play their characters in real life too?
No, people are different from their characters. Some of them are. I'm probably most like DJ Tanner, but but no, Bob was always super funny, and Dave's really funny too. So he's always the comedian. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the one person that's least like their character on the show is Andrea Barber, who played Kimmy Gibbler. She's nothing like Kimmy Gibbler.
What is she like?
She's very intelligent. She's a very smart woman. She is lots of fun, but she is much more introverted. Mm-hmm. And Kimmy Gibbler was the biggest extrovert. She actually has a book that I think it's called Full Circle. And that came out a few years ago. It's a really great read. If anyone wanted it's just an interesting perspective of growing up in the industry, but also playing a character that was the exact opposite of who she was. Like, it kind of breaks your heart in a way, some of the things that she shares. But she's such a wonderful person, and we're still best friends. And we just talked this morning, and she calls me Deej, and I call her Kimmy.
Wait, seriously?
Seriously. We're so dorky.
That's hilarious. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Candace Cameron Bure on We're Momming Today right after this.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Okay, we're back on We're Momming Today, and I actually want to talk to you about writing so many books. Did someone just say, hey, you're a household name, it would be great if you wrote about whatever? Or was it something you really wanted to do?
I wrote my first book actually when my kids were pretty young. I was living in Florida at the time, and I took a 10-year gap from working in the industry because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and raise my kids. And yet, like, Instagram wasn't out yet. Facebook was around. And I think MySpace was still around, but I would kind of be on those message boards, and people would still ask me questions about being on the show. And when I would post current pictures of myself, the number one question I would get was, oh my gosh, you don't have your chubby cheeks anymore. You look great. You've had three kids and you look like you're in really good shape. And what are you doing? What's your exercise routine? What's your fitness routine, fitness and your diet like? And I kept getting so many questions. And then I was talking to another friend of mine, and she's a writer. And she was like, do you want to write a book? Do you want to kind of share this journey? And I said, okay, we can kind of try to start. And that's why I ended up writing my first book. So it was really to answer a lot of public questions that I had gotten because of also my food journey. I had a bad relationship with food. And then after writing that book and it hit the New York Times bestseller, which was shocking to me. I was like, what just happened? And then it was like, okay, the publisher had said, let's write another book. Let's write another book. And that's kind of how it came along. But I'm very thoughtful. I have been thoughtful in the books that I've written in the sense that I don't want to write a book just for the sake of, oh, I have a publishing deal and I have to write this amount of books. So I've actually had another book that I was supposed to write within the last 4 years, and I still haven't written it because of the fact that I'm like, I don't want to be forced to write on a topic for the sake of writing it. I want to be passionate about it and actually give useful information or something that will be encouraging and positive enough for the reader or the listener, if it's audio, to take something away from it and learn something from it. So, but in that, you know, I also wrote children's books because that was actually my dream from when my kids were little and born. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to write so many children's books.
Oh, what you said something earlier that really struck me. You said, I took a 10-year gap because I wanted to be home and I wanted to raise my kids. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's also really risky, really mm-hmm. risky, especially in your field. And this was years ago. So this was before people were communicating so much online, you know, with Instagram, etc.
Right.
Where you can really disappear. I mean, you're out of the public eye. You are out of the public eye.
Yep.
Were you nervous at all in making that decision? And then how did you get back in? So it seemed so easily.
Yeah, I was hugely nervous to make that decision because I thought I was going to have my kids and continue to work and bring them to set or figure it out and do whatever. And I realized that I couldn't give my kids the attention that I wanted to give them as a mom if I was working and traveling, and that they would be separated from either me or their dad. And my husband was on the road half the year because he was a professional hockey player in the NHL. And so I decided to take that time off and stay home and raise my kids. But I was so nervous about it. It took me about 2 years to actually surrender to motherhood because I went from doing so much. I'd been acting since I was 5 years old, mm-hmm. and I've always been an entrepreneurial person to, you know, being content and settled, going to the park every day and changing diapers and cooking meals and all those things. It's like in the beginning, it didn't feel fulfilling. I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? And yet at the same time, it was the very thing I wanted to do. I just had to wrestle within my own soul and spirit and mind and with God to say, oh, but this is actually my purpose at this season in my life.
You said it perfectly, surrender to motherhood, because it's a whole different animal. It really is. I mean, it's exhausting.
It is.
And rewarding.
Yep.
But
all the things. And it's okay to have feelings in every way, shape, and form. I think when we as mothers talk about the things that you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to change another diaper today. And then you feel guilty that someone might think you don't want to take care of your kids that day. It's like, no. Like,
well, maybe not today. Maybe I don't want to take care of them today. No, I'm joking. I find the hard, it's difficult. Would you say it's impossible to have both, to have your career and also be a really great present mother?
It
feels impossible.
I do think it depends on the age of them, but I think it's very difficult to do it at the same time. I always tell people you can do it all, just not at the same time.
Or just not sleep.
Or just not sleep, but then you're not going to be healthy. You're not going to have any brain cells left. You're going to be incoherent, I think, if you don't sleep. So and that's why I took a 10-year gap from working on a set or so that I could be present. But then when my kids got older and they were in middle school, I'm like, okay, I believe now I can go back to work and still give my kids the time that they need from me because the need is an emotional Less. Need.
Yes.
It, yeah. Emotional. There's an emotional need to be present with them, but they physically can take care of themselves. I don't need to be present to physically take care of them in that way.
And what was it like in, I hate to say this because it's not true for all women, but it is certainly true for me. When you surrender to motherhood, you surrender your appearance, or at least I do. I mean, you yeah. just don't look as good because there's just not enough time. And then when you get dressed totally. For one day, so-and-so comes over and he wipes his disgusting, like slimy face and boogers all over your beautiful outfit. So yep. part of the surrendering is surrendering the appearance. It's not true of all mothers, but it is certainly true of me and some others I know. How did you say, okay, I'm going to be like a star again. I mean, were you just ready or did you have to like start dieting and, you know, doing all the glam?
Well, the glam for sure. I think being married to a professional athlete, I've always been encouraged and have a drive to work out. That's kind of been a part of our relationship is physical fitness in that sense. So that part I always made time for because I enjoy it, whether it was going and playing tennis when, you know, the kids were in school or something. I've always been a physically active person. But in terms of appearance, like hair, makeup, whatever I'm wearing, I mean, there was just, I lived in Florida. There was no reason to put on anything other than shorts and flip-flops. And, you know, there's just no reason. And hair in a ponytail. So yeah, when I got back into the industry, I totally forgot what it was like to have people do your hair and makeup and put extensions in your hair and like completely glam you up. And you're like, wow, I'm actually attractive. This is fantastic.
I forgot what she looked like.
Yeah. God. And now it feels so normal. Like and there's so many days where I'm like, oh, I don't want to put on makeup anymore. I don't want my hair done. Cause being in the industry, that is a big part of my day to get ready for that. So it's funny how it can shift, but I was the same as you. I just, I let a lot of the appearance go for about 10 years because it really wasn't important. I didn't feel awful, but there was no use in glamming up.
It's a job to do it. It's a job. And you got enough jobs raising three kids.
Yeah.
I know. I tell my husband sometimes, I'm like, did you watch me on television today? And he'd be like, yes or no, whatever the answer is. I'm like, okay, good. Because I'm probably not going to look like that until I go back to work next week. So just ignore the person you're seeing at home.
But you know, I don't know if your husband says this to you, but my husband is so kind. So every time I get home and I have all this makeup and my hair is perfect, he always looks at me because I feel like, oh, I'm looking hot today, you know? And he was just like, go wash it off because I just love you natural. Like, aww. That's my favorite when you have no makeup on. And I'm like, well, I don't even care if you're lying to me. Like, I love that you say that to me. So thank you.
Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, so tell
that's why we're married for 26 years.
Well, there is a secret sauce.
The right things to say.
What are the three kids doing now?
What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
My kids. So yeah. My kids are, my youngest is 20 and he is trying to figure out what he wants to do. Really. He has a full-time job right now, but he's, you know, in that place where he's just like, I don't know what I want to do. And which is, you know, I think a lot of young kids, we could talk about a whole other subject. Cause I will also say in the last 2 years, just like pandemic kids, like he also graduated over the pandemic, like you basically, kids have lost 2 years of their schooling lives over the past 2 years, which really made a shift. He was a hockey player and basically there was no hockey for 2 years. So it completely.
That was his life.
Yep. And it messed everything up. There were no games to be played. So there's no stats. So it became very, very difficult to move on unless you were like the absolute cream of the crop top. So he's deciding what he wants to do and but working full-time at a job. My 22-year-old son, he works for our family business, Bure Family Wines. So we have a winery and a wine brand that's in Napa Valley. That's what my husband does since he retired from hockey
Wait, hold on. How do I not know this? We are like the biggest wine people in the world. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're a very, very boutique. What should I, how do I even say this? I'm terrible at talking about the wine. I don't talk about it as much, but it's a very boutique brand, I should say. Okay. So we're a very small production. We're very high quality and we compete with the best with all the 100-point wines out there. But, you can't find it at any of your local stores. You have to have an in-person visit or be on our mailing list. And there's about a 2-year wait to get on our mailing list right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And just because we have such a small quantity, it's about 1,000 cases of each varietal. And so once the release letter goes out, it sells out very quickly.
Do you do tastings in Napa?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. I'm gonna look this up. Okay. I'm sorry. I interrupted. Keep going.
That's okay. So our son, Lev, he's been working for Bure Family Wines for the last 3 years. He's also graduating this month from Liberty University with a degree. His degree is in biblical and theological studies.
Oh, wow.
And then our daughter, Natasha, she just turned 24. She's an actress and she lives in LA and she's pursuing her career. She also is a singer and she's actually releasing her very first single tomorrow.
Plug so it.
On Spotify. I don't know. Look up Natasha Bure on Spotify. I don't even have Spotify. I'm going to have to download it now.
So you have a singer, an actor,
theologian.
A theologian,
sure.
A hockey player or sort of.
Yep.
Former.
Yep.
Someone who works in the wine industry. You guys I feel like your passions for you and your husband have really been given to your children.
They have been. We've been a very, very close family. And even with hockey, my husband was like, no, you don't want to play hockey. So it wasn't forced by him. He tried to steer them away from playing hockey, but both my boys played hockey up till college and love it. And neither of them have an interest in the entertainment industry. But my daughter does, and she's always been athletic as well. But from like 12 years old, she was like, this is the business that I want to be in. So I was comfortable with that because obviously I'm in the industry and very protective of her and her career. And she knows that I have her back. So when there's any question about anything, even though she has, you know, her separate managers and agents and all of that, but she always comes to me for questions like, Mom, is this a good move? How's this person? How's that? What should I do here? So I feel good about her being in it just because I can keep an eye out for her.
And my last question for you is, you have Christian values and you clearly raised mm-hmm. your kids that way. Were you raised like that?
So I was raised by the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Which really is a Christian biblical value, but my dad did not want a religion brought into our home when I was a kid, but my mom was always a Christian, and so we didn't ever talk about God until I was 12 years old, and I'm the youngest of four kids in the family, and that's because my parents thought we're thinking about getting a divorce, and a friend had invited them to go to church and get some counseling, some marital counseling through the church. And my dad did not want to get divorced. So he agreed, even though he really didn't want anything to do with religion. And that's what started the journey for our family. However, all of us became Christians. So everyone, my two sisters, my brother, my mom, my dad, we're all Christians now, but we all have had very individual journeys to get to the place we're at with our relationship with God. So It's pretty cool because I wasn't raised that way, and yet we're all God-fearing, God-loving people at this point in our lives.
And you've dedicated, I mean, quite a bit of your work to your Christian values in terms of the shows and the movies that you're making, the books that you're writing. I'm sure I left something out.
No, exactly. Everything that I write, all the books, I mean, they have a through thread of my Christian faith because that's who I am at the core. Like I'm not a Christian at home. And then once I walk out into the entertainment industry, I don't leave it at my doorstep. You know, it is who I am. It's the values and the foundation of who I am as a woman. So that is inspired in all the things that I do with work. And of course I love sharing God with people. I want to encourage people in that way, but I also realize that I'm to be a sharer, and that's for everyone to make those decisions or realizations or ask those questions on their own. But I want people to know that, hey, I can be a source of information or a tool if you have questions in your journey. And so it doesn't stop. So I talk about it in my books and even in some of my movies, not all of my movies, but I like being able to share my faith values in that way. And that's the storyteller that I am.
And it's also something you don't hear a lot in Hollywood, you know, someone really sharing and celebrating their values, their Christian values, you know, so
yeah,
unexpected.
Thank you.
Candace, yeah. So great to talk to you.
Thank you. This was great. This was such a fun conversation. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like you're you. I know exactly who you are. Like I said, I grew up with you, and I'm talking to you as if you're just a regular person.
Because I am.
I know, but you're really not. You're DJ Tanner.
Well, there you go. I will always be DJ Tanner.
I was watching. I put Fuller House on for my kids. And I was just trying to make them understand they didn't, but I thought that was interesting. I'm like, I grew
have
up.
They ever seen that? Have they ever seen Full House?
No. Should I try that with them?
Okay. It's kind of fun. So yeah, when the younger kids, they see Full House first, and then if you show them Fuller House, depending on their age, there's a cool connection for them. Like, oh my gosh, you know,
not a bad idea.
Show them an episode of the old one.
Can't do another like animated whatever they're watching now. thank you very much for the time. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by founder and executive director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, for a look at how we can advocate for a cleaner earth while strengthening U.S. energy independence. Available now on foxnewspodcast.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.